Hi, I'm Jay Farner, CEO of Quicken Loans. 30% of Americans who are planning home improvements of $5,000 or more will pay for those renovations with a high-interest credit card. That may not be a great idea. A better idea may be to take cash out of your home with a Quicken Loans 30-year fixed-rate mortgage. The rate today on our 30-year fixed-rate mortgage is 4.375%. APR, 4.65%. Call us today at 800-QUICKEN or go to rocketmortgage.com.
Rate subject to change. Pay 2.13% fee to receive this discounted rate. Call for cost information and conditions. Equal housing lender. License in all 50 states. NMLS number 3030.
This is a download from BFM 89.9, the business station.
Thank you for listening to this podcast from BFM 89.9. I'm Mira Sivasudi. Now, after 8 years on the air, we're bringing the Bigger Pictures Health and Living to you, live, on the ground. A whole day with the experts, debunking myths behind heart disease and diabetes, addressing our love affair with food, and of course, George will be there talking about sperm. So join us at BFM's Health and Living Live 2016 on Saturday, 2nd of April. Go on and register at bfm.my/health.
Hello, and with me, Cam Raslan, today, we have, she hasn't been here for a long time, BFM's Lee Tree Lin.
I felt so unloved. Hello.
It wasn't, you know, producer Daryl, bad person. And we have somebody new, brand new. He is the editor, I think, of masses.com.my, which if you have a thing about footwear, then that's the place to go.
Yeah, I guess so.
And his name is Brian Chin.
Hello, hello.
Hello, great to have you here.
Thank you so much.
And our three topics for discussion this week will be: topic number one is hoarders stroke collectors. Topic number two is mediated judgments. And finally, topic number three, sneakerheads.
Yep.
Which is a word that I've always known. I didn't just find it out today. No way.
You're one yourself.
Yeah.
Yeah, you're cool.
That's right. So speaking of cool, topic number one, I had a look at your website, and you have a series of videos where you call people hoarders, and you go visit them, and we see their very large collections of shoes, toys, etc. And I was thinking, well, actually, they're not really hoarders; they are collectors, because I love watching TV shows about hoarders. Because there are many things wrong about me, but I'm not a hoarder. So I can watch these shows and go, ha ha, you're weird, and I'm not. And but there is a consistent kind of emotional quality storyline with these people who are hoarders, whose houses are filled with junk. And that is that they actually kind of see themselves as collectors.
Mm-hmm.
And that they had a time in their life once upon a time when things were good and balanced, and then something terrible happened, broke the balance, and they now have to collect these things. They have to keep these keepsakes, and they become more and more ridiculous in order to try and retain that moment. And so I'm wondering if you, and you yourself, Brian, you have a big shoe collection.
I wouldn't call it big. I just call it moderate.
Okay, that to me sounds like you have a problem. Okay. You're in denial.
We'll get to that.
I mean, am I wrong here? I mean, collecting in a way is hoarding, but with money.
Okay, well, okay. If I look at my wardrobe, right, it looks like the wardrobe of a hoarder, crazy person who's decided that her one aim in life is to dress like a candy factory exploded on it. No, like, it looks like that. Like if you look at my closet, that's what it looks like. And honestly, it's an arm workout to get dressed every morning because I'm kind of like shoving things aside at an attempt to get my clothes. But they make me happy. And
oh, yeah. Mm. Yeah, so does heroin.
Well, no. You know what? No? From what I understand, it just makes you sleepy and then maybe you just have other things happen. But with my clothes, it's very specific. I feel like because it's functional, it doesn't cross over into hoarding, you know? I do consider some of my pieces. I think of them that way. I'm like, I would never sell that.
But do you have stuff on the floor?
No, of course not.
Okay, so I mean,
that's crazy.
Crazy. And Brian, you have a big collection, and your wife wants you to get rid of it.
Nah, she doesn't want me to get rid of it. She just looks at me, and she looks at the shoe, shakes her head.
Oh, really?
She didn't say you should get rid of it. She just, you know, shakes her head.
She's an enabler.
Yeah. So she's like doing the whole Jedi mind trick. And
Because some of the videos that I saw, people have very big collections, and they're just these shoe collections. They're shoved in boxes. Yeah. They're hidden away. I mean, that seems kind of odd.
Hoarding.
Yeah.
No, but you know where they, you know what they are. I mean, I remember last night thinking about what I was going to wear today, and having a moment of, I'm not wearing it right now, what I thought, but I did have this moment of, oh, I remember that. I remember that item, and I can wear that. And so I kind of, I think, have a bit of a mental Rolodex of my clothes that I do not have of my books, I should say. I probably have an equal collection of books, clothes, and lipstick. Not in that order. Clothes, books, and lipstick. I have a really good mental catalogue, I think, of my wardrobe.
Because actually, listeners, I have never seen Lynn wear the same outfit twice. She's like Sex in the City. You know, they never wear the same thing twice.
Wow.
Yes, I know. And I giggle all the time, too. So it's crazy.
Would you like to be featured on one of our hoarders video?
Sure. Yeah.
Yeah. I think
it's happening.
But Brian, why do you call them hoarders? They're collectors.
To me, it's more of like a... Hoarding, right? It's more of they don't wear them.
Uh-huh.
They just keep them somewhere and they spoil. But they will still pull it out once in a while and go like, I remember this. You know, took me like 3 months' salary to buy this. And they'll just keep it aside and it spoils. You know, shoes, they rot and whatnot.
There's something about that hunt as well, right? I mean, I think that happens with limited edition stuff by and large. You just wanted it because it's got, you know, they only made 1,000 of these and now you have number 998. Yeah. Mm.
But the thing is, though, that shoes, though, are deceptive because they're functional.
Yep.
And so we assume that they must be worn.
Mm-hmm.
But if you have, I don't know, paintings... And you have so many that some are stored in the back, or people don't look at them. But I mean, there are other things that are non-functional, and so it doesn't matter if they're not being used. But you know, shoes.
My definition is a bit more: if let's say you have a lot of shoes and they're valuable, they have value, until you store them and they spoil and become useless, not valuable anymore, then I think that's when you become a hoarder. That's my definition.
What I want to examine here is Cam's oft-stated point that objects don't seem to give you much joy because you are able to stand like an outsider here.
Superior.
I don't like this moral high ground.
It's the only time in my life. Give me this moment. Come on.
But you don't have that urge to buy something?
I was just thinking, I'm not much of a collector. I have quite a big vinyl collection, but I kind of stopped doing it because I find that I've just been buying stuff that's not that good. Sarongs? I really like sarongs, actually.
Wow.
And wherever I go, I'll see if I can buy one. And so when I go to Europe, not too many options.
And a tablecloth, pretend.
Books, I think books maybe. And that would be one area where I do have a problem because I have many, many books that I have never read and will never read yet I cannot part with.
And do they make you happy to have?
Yes, but I don't know if I can trust that happiness. I don't think it's a real safe... healthy happiness.
Do you think the people in the hoarders videos are happy? You know, when they pull up,
extremely happy.
Even when the soul has just completely left this world,
they pull it out and it's totally destroyed, and they go like, "I remember that time. It took me like, you know, half a year to find this," and you can just see the joy in their eyes and the way they express it, and you can just tell that no matter how much money they spend and how much money they've wasted, they still think it's worth it.
I would consider that an experience of value. I think so long as it still gives you happiness, that's fine.
I think that it's a problem because you are making into an object a lost emotional moment.
But don't you find it happy when you buy, let's say, that book which you think you would never read?
No, I think to myself, why am I doing this? I have a problem. Because I think that... All right, photograph. In a way, they're like photographs. They're mementos of a time gone by. And a photograph has value. But if I can place the memory in my head, then that's the greatest value. So I'm trying not to. Also have to bear in mind, there was a time when I had money and then I had no money.
Okay.
And so I was a bit of a collector of things when I had money. And I had to get rid of everything. I had to stop purchasing anything. And I'm still in that kind of mode. So that I managed to divorce myself from the emotion.
But do you still buy books now?
Yeah, okay, I do. Yeah.
Does it give you happiness to not spend? Like, when you look at something and it's 30 ringgit and you put it back on the shelf, you're like, ha, I'm better than Lynn and Brian.
Yeah. No, No, Lynn, I'm not Chinese.
Well, I don't think that you had to go there says more about you, I think, than it does about me.
I think we're going to move on to another topic. Or I get in too much trouble. Okay, so we're going to go to topic number two. By the way, so finally, your collection, Lynn, your clothes. That's right?
Yeah, my clothes.
And Brian, your shoes?
Shoes, yeah.
And if I have, mine's books, I guess. Mm-hmm. Okay. But I don't have a problem.
That's what they all say.
Yeah, but you do. You do. And so topic number two is mediated judgments. Lynn.
Yeah, so I've noticed this about myself recently, that I haven't actually watched a full-length Premier League match, despite being a football person, despite being a Manchester United fan. I said it. I haven't actually seen a full 90-minute match this season, just because I haven't found the time. I've just kind of lost that fire. But if you asked me whether or not I have strong opinions about someone's red card, Juan Mata was so stupid. You know, I have these strong opinions. Did I watch the match? No. Do I care whether Leicester wins? I really do. But I don't know where they're coming from. They're just kind of like floating around in the ether. I read things, I hear people talk, and suddenly I have these fully formed judgments. It happened with the Academy Awards as well. I was really angry that Leonardo DiCaprio won. I was really, really upset. I'm like, why are they rewarding this kind of torture acting? You know, this isn't acting. Anybody can eat raw liver and cringe. I didn't watch the movie.
You didn't?
I didn't watch The Revenant, but I have very strong opinions about it.
And that's a good thing?
I don't think so. I don't like this about myself. I'm kind of bringing it here as, you know, kind of like stage an intervention for me. I'm not sure. I don't know where this is coming from.
Well, I guess, you know, it's natural to have opinions about things.
Yeah, I know, but don't you?
But you're not
to?
Invested. You're not invested. You don't feel that you deserve. You haven't spent the time. You haven't done the time.
I'm invested in my opinions, but strangely, I'm not kind of invested enough to. I feel as if I don't deserve them. Yeah, you know, I feel as if you should watch the movie before you have an opinion about it. Okay. I mean, like, where am I coming from? And I would judge me if I were talking to me.
And meanwhile, there are other people out there who do have locus standi who can legitimately talk about these things, and you're a fraud and they're not.
And I would fight them.
Right.
It's what happened in the office when Leonardo DiCaprio won, and everyone was like, yay, Leo. And I was just like kind of standing in a corner like a crazy person going, he doesn't deserve it. And they've all seen the movie.
You're very honest about your judgmentalism.
Well, you know, that's the only way
I haven't watched the show, but when I heard Leo won the award, I was very happy.
Huh.
So I'm like you, but I'm just totally opposite.
Why were you happy?
Because after looking at all the 9GAG memes and all that, I think he deserves it. Because, like, I don't know. He's been trying to get an Oscar for, like, years. So I think he really deserves one. Because just by looking at the trailer, I think he did a good job, I think.
Really? I have watched the movie. So therefore, I can talk about it and be superior.
Moral high ground again.
Again.
Oh, my God. What a red letter day this is. No, but, Brian, I mean, you're happy for Leah, right?
Yeah.
Does that mean... I mean, if you have these judgments when you've not actually experienced the experience, are you positive generally? Are you positive?
Yeah, that's a very positive guy, yeah.
And meanwhile, Lynn, are we perhaps detecting a theme where it's not necessarily always that positive?
Well, I mean, it depends.
maybe.
Yeah, I guess.
I actually think that I was... I enjoyed the movie a lot. I thought it was a very good film.
Okay.
I didn't think that Leonardo DiCaprio should have won an Oscar because, as you say, Lynn, all he was doing was just being tortured. and I can't think, though, who else should have deserved it more.
See, I think...
But at the same time, I don't really care.
See, for me, my opinions have been shaped, I think, by a whole slew of think pieces because they've all been talking about it. There's been this whole thing of like, oh, you know, look at him changing the focus to First Nations. Look at him eating, you know, like raw bison and trying to get rewarded for it. And then I find myself getting turned. I can actually feel the worm turning. I think Leonardo DiCaprio is a great actor. I was sad that he didn't win in previous years. But this year, I'm just like... No, I've turned against you.
So you're so shallow. You're intellectually shallow. Is that what you're saying?
Perhaps.
Wow, this is...
Easily influenced.
But to a kind of like you're trying to aspire to a highbrow kind of...
Highbrow.
It's not even that. It's just that I think what surprised me is that I have opinions at all. I mean, to have missed... But maybe it's because I don't have opinions about things that I haven't been involved in before. You know, I cared a lot about the Academy Awards in previous years. I've been the kind of person who'll try to watch the movies before the awards come out. I've, you know, watched every match Manchester United has been in at the, you know, sacrificing my emotional health. But I do it. But this year is just kind of eh. But I still want that high, I think, of like chasing, you know, the opinion.
But Brian, I mean, you have a website and you're promoting footwear.
Yep.
Which I don't think is strange at all. And and but I mean, you're forming judgments. You're making judgments. You're judging. You are an opinion maker.
Yeah. But yeah? But we try to keep it as neutral as possible.
Right. So
we don't go all the way and say like this shoe is extremely ugly. Please don't buy it.
You never say that.
We never say that because in Malaysia you got to be always sort of as a media you got to be sort of something like BFM. Yeah. You got to be a bit neutral in that sense.
Well, not Len.
Well, not on this show. Not on this show.
Leonardo DiCaprio is never coming here.
Yeah,
he's not welcome.
But overall, we try to form opinions in terms of letting people know that this shoe is available and whether you should buy it or not is totally up to you.
But come on, there must be. You look at shoes and you think this is just trash. This is trash.
Like to me, if I have my own blog, like personal blog, I'll definitely say.
Then
that.
Why don't you say it? Go for it.
Because of the position I'm in. It's pretty tough in this industry because it's very, very small. So
you're thinking about sponsorship and all that kind of
thing.
Yeah. Right.
So,
but don't you think sponsors would appreciate a bit of anger?
A bit of fire.
A bit of fire, a bit of judgment. Criticism. Oh. Critique. No?
Not in the shoe business.
No?
It's a bit tough. Like, to be honest, they'll go like, you know, if I'm going to give you a shoe, you better talk good about it. And if you have nothing good to say, then don't say anything.
Mm.
Broadly speaking, though, do you find like, critique and being judgmental, you know, does that have a place in your life? Like, you know, generally speaking. Okay.
Yes.
All right.
I am very, very vocal about my opinion outside of work. And I think, which I have to take care about, you know.
Yeah. Because it's true, folks. Just before we went on air, he was mean as hell. we were scared. we're going to go, though, on to find out more about these sneakers. And we're going to get Brian's opinion. I'm afraid. Okay. Yeah. In a moment on A Bit of Culture, BFM 89.9.
You're still here. Good. Now, if you're listening to this podcast while on the treadmill, you're already off to a good start. If you're not, don't forget to join us at BFM's Health and Living Live 2016 on the 2nd of April. Find out how you can live a better, healthier life. Go on and register at bfm.my/health.
And we're back with myself, Cam Ruslan, Lee Chui Lin, and Brian Chin of masses.com.my, which is a website dedicated to sneakers. Not the candy bar, but footwear.
Yeah.
And so this topic is, well, sneakerheads, because a sneakerhead is, people, you may not know this, so let me tell you.
Whoa.
A sneakerhead is a person who is dedicated to, well, sneakers. And Brian, you are one, are you not?
Yeah, I admit that I am one.
And yes. How long has this affliction been in your life?
I would say like since I was 18 years old. So it's about 12 years.
And you have a collection, I think we've kind of touched upon this, but of, say, what, a couple of hundred?
100.
100?
I try to keep it around 100.
And you're not alone in this, are you?
No, they're over the years, I think recently it's been crazy. The scene is starting to grow really mad because of all the current sneakers that are coming out and also because of the resale value. So a lot of people are really getting on board to try to earn quick bucks and stuff like that.
How did you graduate from, because I think, I don't know about Cam, but for most people, I think in your teenage years, you go through a sneaker phase, you know, roughly everybody starts buying these shoes, they're cool. But then to graduate from that to being a sneakerhead is totally different. It's just like everyone wears jeans, but not everyone graduates to becoming like a denim enthusiast. When did you first think that like, oh, okay, I think I want to buy like these special Japanese sneakers made of potato skins?
I think it all begins. I think the process is pretty similar for everyone, majority. So I think they will start with the cheap ones first, you know, and then after a while they get bored and they're like, oh, I need to be special. And that's when they start looking for a bit more expensive shoes. And when they graduate to like probably Jordans and or whatever, Air Maxes and all that kind of stuff. And after a while, they go like, hey, actually, it's not so special because everyone has Jordans. And
Yeah.
for sneakerheads, I mean.
Yeah. So, obviously there's a community out there.
That, yeah.
Right? And do you enjoy being in the company of these people? Or do you think, oh, they're just weird, but not like me?
It's very interesting, actually. They are like walking encyclopedias,
yeah,
on sneakers.
And that's fun. I mean, you like to,
yeah,
hang out.
You got to have a bit of knowledge to actually enjoy it. But I think if for someone who is zero knowledge about sneakers and you were to attend one of these meetups at a mama and they'll start talking about sneakers and you go like, what is that?
So this is one thing you must enjoy then, is that kind of being an aficionado,
yeah,
being in the inner sanctum, knowing knowledge.
Yeah, it's moved on from
high
like
priest.
Buying,
yeah,
to actually knowing.
Yeah.
So when you're a sneakerhead, it's not just about the shoes. It's not just about having the shoes. It's actually knowing what you're buying. So I think a lot of like the old sneakerheads, the OGs, you know, they always call it knowledge is king. It's not about how many pairs you have. It's about knowing what you're buying and appreciating.
So for people who just think a shoe is like a shoe, you know, it's more or less.
Yeah, that's common folk for them.
Ah, okay. So for the common folk.
the muggles.
Yeah, the sneaker muggles, the snuggles.
Snuggles.
So, yeah, for those people, right? Like, so what knowledge are we talking about? Because I know when it comes to clothes, like, or when it comes to, you know, I could go on about, for instance, lipstick, right? I could tell you, like, oh, no, this gloss is a little too this, or this is a bit too that.
Yeah.
What are the details that really get you guys going, like, yeah, man, yeah, did you see that?
The funny thing is, like, exactly like the lipstick, right? Certain shoe companies, they will release the same shoe, maybe every 2-3 years, they release them again, but with slight adjustments and updates. So if, let's say, you're wearing a pretty old one, let's say 10 years ago, and you go, oh, it's from that year. Oh, my God, I love that. I love that
vintage.
I love that extra touch, you know. They don't make them like this anymore, you know, that kind of stuff. So it's very similar to that lipstick thing.
You know, actually, I envy you. I mean, we were talking earlier with hoarders and collectors and stuff, and I don't really have that thing.
Don't relinquish your moral high ground. You have it. Hold on to it.
No, it's slipping down the hill. Because, I mean, so Lynn, are you a member of a cult in the same way that Brian is with the sneakerhead?
Well, I can certainly talk lipstick for
But
a
is
very
there a community?
Time.
There's no.
Yes.
Oh, really?
Well, I mean, I don't.
Friends,
I don't necessarily have friends who like to talk about this sort of thing, but online certainly you could go on and on and on. You know, I used to swap makeup with people on
Facebook groups and forums and stuff like that.
There is a dedicated swap forum on Makeup Alley, which is its own website. And it's just filled with people talking about finish. It's filled with people talking about ingredients. It's filled with people talking about, you know, how light or how heavy. It's, you know, you can go into real detail. That's why I'm so interested in the details of sneakers, because I wear sneakers, but I know what I like. But I'm not going to be like, oh, you know, and then my toes feel really encased. I don't know.
Well, that's foot fetish zone, isn't it? Did you know, actually, that apparently the section of the brain that thinks about feet is right next to the section of the brain that thinks about sex.
Ooh.
So that's why there's this.
What does that say about people who are scared of feet?
Are there people who are scared
of
feet?
Oh, yes. That's a whole... Cam, get out there. Meet these different communities. Come on.
Okay. So actually, when you were talking, Lynn, it did remind me. I guess there are things that I... knowledge that I have.
You're a something head.
Right. But I have not yet taken the trouble to go public with them and to go reach out and find that community.
Now's your time.
Well, I don't know. I just feel so, I don't know.
You feel alone, but that's just a start. And then you open yourself up and then it's sneakerheads.
Yep. Then I'd feel a bit foolish. And then I wouldn't really want to know their opinions anyway. I don't know. So military history, for instance, is my thing, right? Everything I read, not everything, but a hell of a lot of what I read, and I have these thoughts in my head, and I'm thinking about them, and I could, for instance, spiel on about Karl von Clausewitz.
My brother is a military head.
Yeah?
He collects books on military.
Yeah? I don't want to talk to him.
Okay.
I don't... No, don't take it personally. Maybe you should. I don't know. I just feel... squeamish. I don't know.
You don't think,
embarrassed.
Well, there is a joy in kind of meeting up with. Okay, it infuriates me, for instance, when my girlfriends tell me you have so many lipsticks and they're all the same color, and I'm like, No, they are
say
not.
That. They're
yeah,
not.
No, and okay.
I know they're
calm
not.
Calm down. No, but it drives me insane because I know there's a difference, but to say so makes you sound like a crazy person. You're like, no, this is a bit carmine and that's blood red and that's, you know, but you sound nuts. And so when you meet a like-minded person,
yeah,
you can say,
exactly,
oh, wow. And then you get one another. It's like,
That's because they're not real friends.
No,
not like Lipstick Lover 23.
I have
in Illinois.
I have three real friends with whom I talk lipstick. Three, and they get it
like,
and I love them.
Real people.
Real people with whom I bring tubes, shove them in their hands, and go check this out.
But you also have friends in inverted commas out there in cyberland. Who...
Not anymore. I used to back when when I was active in the swapping community. But I've quit that life now, Cam. I've left it behind.
But wouldn't it be nice to know that there's someone equally weird?
Yeah.
In that sense.
It would.
Right. For you, Cam.
Yeah, that's why I envy you.
Don't you want to just give it a go? Maybe have a coffee. Not commit too much.
You see, you're mocking me.
Keep it casual.
Okay, I'll meet your brother. All right. What do I wear? I don't know. It's a very difficult show for me. This is actually section is supposed to be about Brian's weirdness.
He asked.
It became about my weirdness. So unfair. Producer Daryl, can we just get people who don't bring these things out? So now, though, we have to move on to the final part of the show, recommendations, where we recommend something that we think might be of interest. And I go first, don't I? So my recommendation is, I think I'm going to have to do this. It's the music of Erik Satie, who is not some Christian Indian fleur. He's actually a French musician from back in the day, who was very strange and died in poverty. But he composed just for the piano, and very beautiful pieces of music just for one piano. And so I've been listening to quite a bit of him recently. And one piece in particular, which if you hear it, you'll know it. I won't whistle it. It's called Gymnopédes. I don't know how to pronounce it. And apparently it's some sort of Greek thing. So Erik Satie, piano music, if you like that kind of thing. And Gymnopédes. Don't know what it means. So it's really beautiful. It's just very beautiful stuff. And I'd like to put it out there. Okay. You both made me feel like something's so wrong with me today. Okay, Lynn, what have you got?
I am bringing to the table Iris. It is a gorgeous documentary. It's about Iris Apfel. It's kind of appropriate, actually, while we're talking about collections today, because Iris Apfel is an octogenarian fashion icon.
She's
amazing. And she kind of hit her prime in her 80s, more or less, when people suddenly realized, like, wow, you've been doing this. She was a textile maker for a long time with her husband. And they suddenly realized, wow, you're really cool. And the documentary was done by Albert Maysles, who of the Maysles brothers fame. And so it's kind of a cinema verite thing, kind of following her around. She brings you into her home. She brings you into her collections of clothes. She has two homes, or is it three? And one is just filled with clothes. One is just for her clothes. You know, when she looks through her collections, she's been slowly divesting herself of her clothes to different museums around the world, or to different museums, because that's just how much she has. And it's a gorgeous, gorgeous documentary. She's fascinating. She speaks like this. It's amazing.
She speaks and looks a lot like Edna Mode from The Incredibles.
Yes, she does. And she has the most wonderful collection of costume jewelry. And I think, Cam, you should watch it and try to get behind.
I have actually watched a fair bit of it. It was on and I enjoyed it. But watching it seemed to be like everybody knew who she was. Like she was really famous, but I'd never heard of her.
Which was kind of a beautiful thing. I think being introduced to her in this format was kind of really lovely. And also she has such a wonderful relationship with her husband. So it's a love story. It's great for people who love fashion and it's great for documentary lovers. I really enjoyed it. Iris.
I watched it. It was good. It was good. I enjoyed it. Yeah. Brian.
My recommendation is not to watch anything or not to read anything, but instead go out and embrace your inner weirdness and go and find a Facebook group or a forum, you know, if you like military, if you're a military head like Cam, you know, you go out and find your clique.
That's not a recommendation, that's an intervention.
No,
you're looking at me. as you're saying it.
Yeah, if you're a military head, you can find Cam at BFM.
Damn it.
Life could be better, Cam.
You've got 100 pairs of sneakers.
Besides the point.
Isn't it? Okay, so say it again. Your recommendation is to go out there.
Yeah, go out and just embrace your inner weirdness. Or, yeah, just be yourself.
Mm. I have a friend, actually, who's lots of friends who've done that. One in particular who's gone out and writes a lot of fan fiction of, you know, particular TV shows, new episodes and stuff.
Oh, that's a very strong community right there.
And she's met all sorts of really great people through it, something which I would never dream of doing. But it's really just brought a whole new dimension to her life.
And it could to yours.
Oh, stop it. Don't look at me.
High five.
Anyway, so we wrap up this episode, which has been a very difficult one for me, of A Bit of Culture. And I'd like to thank Lee Chuilin.
Thank you.
Thank you. And our special honored guest, who's wearing, what shoes are you wearing today?
Pro-Cats.
Pro-Cats.
It's actually a very, very vintage brand from the States. And they're going to be coming to Malaysia soon. And I've got the honor of wearing the samples first.
Oh, they look kind of Converse-y.
Yeah, yes. They actually were around before Converse.
Yeah, see,
knowledge is power.
I knew that, see, Lynn?
Okay, yeah, all
you,
right.
You mock me, but I know my fashion. And myself, Cam Ruston, if you'd like to get in touch with us, please do so on our Facebook group page thing, which is really happening these days, and or Twitter feeds. Mine's at Cam Ruslan. Lynn's is...
I'm not active on Twitter, although you could look me up on Instagram. I like people on Instagram.
Okay. Obviously, I know how to do that.
Yeah,
but,
I know.
But to the listeners who don't necessarily know what Instagram is.
Sure. you could look me up. My handle is at Schmurls, S-C-H-M-U-R-L-S.
Mine is Brian Botachin, B-R-Y-A-N, Botachin.
Okay.
Yeah.
And also your website, which is...
masters.com.my.
Uh-huh. Yeah. The place to go if you're into shoes. Yeah. I would imagine the people who are into that probably already know about
it. Yeah.
Right?
But, if you finally want to embrace your inner weirdness and you want to admit that you're a sneakerhead, come on over.
Come on over to the community.
Yeah.
Like-minded people. So thank you for joining us, everybody. And what have I said now? And please join us next week for another exciting episode of A Bit of Culture here on BFM 89.9.
Thank you for listening to this podcast. To find more great interviews, go to bfm.my or find us on iTunes. BFM 89.9, the business station.
Hi, I'm Jay Farner, CEO of Quicken Loans. 30% of Americans who are planning home improvements of $5,000 or more will pay for those renovations with a high-interest credit card. That may not be a great idea. A better idea may be to take cash out of your home with a Quicken Loans 30-year fixed-rate mortgage. The rate today on our 30-year fixed-rate mortgage is 4.375%, APR 4.65%. Call us today at 800-QUICKEN or go to rocketmortgage.com.
Rate subject to change. Pay 2.13% fee to receive this discounted rate. Call for cost information and conditions. Equal housing lender. License in all 50 states. NMLS number 3030.